Welcome to the 20 Minute Runner Podcast. My name is Roland, and I am the 20 Minute Runner. It's good to have you along with me as I run and race through the Piedmont region of North Carolina. Thanks for sharing some of the road with me.
January 31st, 2010. Welcome to episode 39 of the 20 Minute Runner Podcast. It's good to have you along today. I'm sure you can hear the crunching under my feet. We received about 7 inches of snow here on Friday night into Saturday. Stopped snowing yesterday, and then it began snowing again, and we received another half to another inch, and it basically covered up what tracks that there were in our street other than the deepest tracks, which you can still see. But I walked Cody a little bit earlier this morning and got him up to the end of our street, turned left to go down the cul-de-sac, which is very short. Stood there at the edge of the woods with him, and all of a sudden it hit me. You know what I heard? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Other than a dog in the distance. No traffic on the highway, which is, maybe a quarter mile's crow flies through the woods. There have been no cars going up and down our streets, although that's not exactly true. You can tell there have been, but not over one or two. They scraped yesterday, and it has produced a snow drift on one side. They didn't scrape both, but just went down the middle of our street. It's created a snow drift on one side. And the other side, basically, none of us can get out. Or if we can get out, I'm not sure how the highway is. Now, I do plan to run today. I'm still recovering. It was just day before yesterday that we went 19 miles. But I do plan to run today, but I won't record for that. I will record the run a little bit later in the week, probably. But I did want to get a little bit of a feel for this and a taste for this, and I'll take a couple pictures. You can go to the blog. I'll have one there, I think, of me with the Fu Manchu. And then I'll have another one of, I think where I'm standing right now, a shot of me standing at the end of my street. And in that picture, you see the hill that's behind my house. Now, that's not the hill I run. Looking at that photograph, if you look to the left, you really can't see my house in the photo. But if you go down towards the house on the very end of the street in the photograph, if you go left behind, just look left, that's where the hills would be that I described. The smaller hill and the bigger hill. Not the one behind the house on the end. So anyway, it's good to have you along for this episode. By the time we're running and recording, hopefully this stuff's going to be thawed out. Supposed to get down in the teens last night here. High yesterday was 24. High today's actually 33 or 34 with sunshine. So I don't know if we'll venture out or not by vehicle. And then the low again tonight is supposed to be 12. So, again, we're having a second cold streak. We did have snow back in December, 5 inches, which isn't that much. But this time we probably ended up with around 8. And it's been beautiful, but it's quiet. So, before I sign off on this segment, I'm going to let you just listen. You might be able to hear something now. I hear a bird. I do hear a heat pump somewhere. I hear no vehicles of any kind. It's really, really weird. So anyway, I hope you're warm wherever you are. We're going to get out for a run today. Again, we won't record for it, but we will later on in the week. But it's good to have you along for this episode, episode 39. And we'll be back in just a minute. Hopefully we'll be running and sharing together during that time.
I couldn't resist. I am out running on Sunday, January 31st. I shoveled the driveway leading into my street and part of the street so our cars could get out hopefully tomorrow. I shoveled snow for about 40 minutes. We ended up with about 8 inches, which is a not unheard of snow for us, but certainly we might not get that over 2 or 3 years. We'll get a dusting or 2 or 3 inches every year or two, but so it's a good snow. But I spent 40 minutes shoveling and wanted to get out and run in it. I haven't run in snow like this for many, many years. Back in December, when I ran in the snow, they had already cleared a good part of the highways, streets, whatever. So while there was snow all around, it wasn't like it is today. The training called for 7 2-minute intervals, 2-minute rests between a 5K pace. That was my intentions. But I tell you, it's too slippery. Now right now I'm running through the back of a shopping center, and snow has been pushed to the side here in the back corner right now. I'm 5'4", and the snow is over my head. And I'm coming down Hasty School Road. I have to get off of the road when cars are coming because there's not that much clearance. And I would run through drifts where it had been pushed that were knee-high. I just take my time, keep a good pace, but not push it. Because in a way, I feel like counting the snow shoveling and counting running through the snow and slush today, certainly that is like a speed workout in a sense of strength. So, but I just wanted to get out and run it. I had all intentions of running the intervals, but would not attempt it now because of the mess. Came back on the street, right in front of me, is stopping. Well, now he's going. And I've got to really keep a lookout. I've got somebody behind me. So here we go in the neat and deep stuff. I'll tell you, after 19 miles the day before yesterday, 45-minute bike session yesterday, shoveling snow today, now that I'm bounding through on this knee-deep snow, I'm going to tell you, that's a workout. So I decided to cut it short. We're not going to be going 8 miles today with the intervals. If I can get in 5 miles, wow, make it through this, we have had a workout. I'll probably be more sore than if I had not. We'll get back on the street. Wow. I'll tell you, my quads are really telling it. We will not exercise tomorrow. So anyway, we've been running 29 and a half minutes. We'll cover 3.1 miles. Obviously slower than usual. Understandable. Unexpected. It is a slush fest. The next part of the show will be a probably long run, 10 or 12 miles
before the end of the coming week. So you'll hear the beginning of this run. I'll wrap that show with the long run, although I am stepping back this week from, say, 19 to 10 or 12. This has been a hard week, but I think that it will reap tremendous benefits, as many of them are thought. This workout, although it's short, let me tell you, running in snow, it's not easy. So, we'll be back in a bit. Thanks for listening to the 20 Minute Runner Podcast.
See you, Cola. I'll be back in a bit. Let me get my gloves. It's the last thing that I need as I walk out the door. Hello there, this is Roland. Welcome to the rest of the show, episode 39. Today is Saturday, February 6th, and it is about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 35 degrees, good breeze coming out of the north, pretty much just north, and we are waiting for the GPS to sync. It's good to have you along with me today. We are loaded for bear. Although I'm not going that far today, I'm debating between going either 12 or possibly 8 because I ended up going further this week. One run that I intended, but it turned out okay. But Cindy and I went and ate lunch at Big Ed's Chicken Pit. I believe you can look up Big Ed's on the internet, Big Ed's Chicken Pit restaurant in High Point. They have mild, medium and hot sauce on their chicken, and I got the medium, which was really not very hot at all. So, but as you know, I like hot stuff. So, but we had a good lunch, but that's been 3 hours ago, a little over 3 hours, and then she and I actually went bowling. I've got some friends of mine, people I've actually just gotten to know, that have asked about us going maybe bowling together and then eating food afterwards, and we may do that. But Cindy and I have not bowled in a long time, so today we ended up bowling. And my second game, we bowled two games. My second game was a 138, which, I know, that's not setting the woods on fire, but it's not terrible. So, we are recovered from that. I do have a little bit of a pain in my left quad, where I've been shoveling snow earlier today, and I rode the bike 45 minutes yesterday, setting 4. On the rolling hills, and that's a little bit challenging, and I think I've maybe not really pulled but irritated a muscle in my left quad, but I don't think the running will bother that, but we'll see. But it is good to have you along today. Appreciate your presence. About 9 minutes into the run here, we are going up a short street with a cul-de-sac where they're going to be building houses, and to this point they're building one on the road facing the cul-de-sac, but it's empty with signs where they have the lots for sale. But it's good incline to go up to the end of it and go back down, and it gives me, since they put this little short street in here, it adds maybe 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes to my run, that I don't have to go out somewhere else. There is still snow in areas, probably getting some wind, but that will go away or die down in just a minute. The
weather, we ended up having slush and snow again Friday night, calling for some ice. And this area didn't really melt much. We picked up a couple more inches, and then it rained most of the day yesterday. So it was actually Thursday night into Friday afternoon, and then it started raining, and streets are more or less totally clear. And snow on the ground around is also going away, but we picked up a couple more inches. It quickly dissolved. Hey, but when it's like that, I am not able to get out and run. And right now I'm having to cross the road. Police car backing up. And I'm just going to have to stop and let them by. Actually, they're going to let me by. So, we're going on up the hill. But anyway, we've had snow, some snow or ice. We had 5 or 6 inches back December 18th. Friday, a week ago, 8 days ago, we had around 7 inches. And then a couple inches this week. So, we've had for us our share of snow. Of course, in D.C. and Baltimore, parts north, they're getting up to 2.5 to near 3 feet in areas. So I ain't complaining. I like to see it come down. When we lived down near Wilmington, down near the beach where I was raised, man, if we heard a snowflake was coming, we freaked out. Since we've lived in this general area the last 20 years, it's like when we hear about snow, particularly ice, oh no, here we go again. But I know that we are blessed because I live in an area that doesn't get that much. You may not get anywhere you are, or you may get a lot of snow where you are. Anyway, that's the way things have been. So while it didn't keep me from running, it hampered what we were able to do on the days that I wanted to do it. The survey on the blog that I had for the last little bit asked if people were planning to raise money in a race, if they had raised money in a race, or if they never planned to. And of the responses I got, 100% said they hoped to raise money by racing in the future. So that's encouraging. And I just want to remind you real quick, don't forget the American Lung Association. We are now 6 weeks away from the marathon. And if you would consider making a donation to the American Lung Association, I would appreciate it. Go to the blog, click the link at the top. Be sure and follow the instructions I have at the top of the blog so they'll be able to appropriately mark who it's from and mark it to the North Carolina Marathon effort. And as we get there, I will give you an update on how well we did. I did want to note, someone mentioned in an email that they had purchased a couple songs off of iTunes that have been played on the show, recent episodes. I want to remind you that all of the music that I use is Creative Commons licensed, which means that the people who produce it put it out there for free just to get their name out, their music out, if you're willing to give credit. If you remember, at the end of every episode, I direct you to the blog. You can go there and see that I use music from Jamendo, Music Alley, occasionally Magnatune. And you can order that music. You can purchase it on iTunes. Some of it has to be purchased, but most of it is absolutely free, particularly if you want to listen to it on your own. I would highly recommend Music Alley. Might be musicalley.com. Jamendo.com is a little harder to find music. Has more of an international flavor. But you can probably find something that you enjoy. So the music on the show, all the music is available. I don't use any regularly
do you call it, copyrighted music, because you can get in big, big trouble for that. And I like fresh new music anyway, and I'm glad you do. I have had comments where listeners have said they really appreciate the music. I know that everybody doesn't like all the music I play. Sometimes it's real edgy with guitar. Sometimes it's blues. Sometimes it's a female singer with a ballad of some sort. Sometimes it's just a picking and grinning western style guitar piece. But I like to mix it up because I like all kinds of music. I like Christian music as well. But I try to mix it up for you so that if there's something you don't care for one episode, hang around and chances are within the next episode or two you'll find something that you like. But go to the blog, check that out, and if you want to purchase any music, there are always direct links and the name of the song or songs used in that particular episode in that blog entry. The question for this week or the few weeks ahead is what's the furthest you've ever run? 5 miles, 5 to 10, 10 to 15, 15 to 20, longer than 20. Take a minute, go to the blog. It takes 2 seconds to click on your answer. Provide one answer, and we'll share those results with you as well when that closes, which will be several weeks from now. Another thing about the blog I'll point out, the Buckeye entry, when you go to the blog, if you look on the left-hand side, not at the very top, but near the top, you'll see the entry for, or the page rather, the link for Buckeye Outdoors. It's where I keep my online running log. You can click on that at any time. It'll show you the total running from the previous Sunday of that week for miles. But you can click on it. It'll bring up the calendar for the month. You can scroll over the information and you can see the details of the run. Whether it's a run that I recorded during it or whether it's just a run I went out and made, I have details there. You can also scroll over, usually toward the end of the week, Sunday or Monday, and it should bring up my weight. Now I'm 5'4", and I usually somewhere between 134 and 139, pretty constant. I don't want to get any thinner. I'm not a beanpole, but I'm pretty thin. Hadn't always been that way. I'm actually 55 to 60 pounds lighter than I was at one time. So I'm not skinny, but I am on the thin side, which is what I want. It's great for racing, but anyway, not that you'd be interested, but if you are, also keep a weekly weight at the Buckeye log. Just click on it. If you don't use Buckeye Outdoors, I would encourage you to check out the site. You can keep all kinds of statistics, keep up with your mileage, and there's a lot of stuff you can do with it that I'm not even doing. But it's good to have it. Plus, when you go to the blog, you can immediately see what I've been doing that week, mileage-wise, and then click on the link if you want to see a little more detail, which could be interesting as we get more and more nearer the marathon here in just a few weeks. I want to give you an update this week. I think I recorded the first part of this episode will be from the snow run. I'm thinking that was last Sunday. Ended up running 5.2 that day in about 46 minutes. And if you remember, I had run 19 a couple days before, rode the bicycle as well. So I took off Monday and Tuesday. Wednesday, got back out. Was going to run the 7 intervals, 2-minute intervals or 2-minute rests near 5K pace. Ended up doing that, fastest interval actually being below 6 minutes, 5:57, and ended up feeling so well. I ran 10.1 miles in an hour and 21 minutes and change, which was the 8:04 average.
And that is the fastest training run I've had. And did I feel like I was pushing it a bit? Yeah. But was I in trouble? No, uh-uh. And to be honest with you, there were places that I actually held back because I realized, according to my watch, maybe I was going a little faster than I should, but I think it has to do with the training, the intervals, the tempo runs, and the even the long runs have helped. So that means if I run 12 today, or just over, that puts us between 27 and 28 miles for the week. I'm not running excessively long this week because I want to give my body a break from the, for me, what is a very long run of 19 miles. So we'll do maybe 12 today, if we can, if we feel like it. I feel pretty good right now. And then we will plan to run next weekend, Lord willing, do 20, back it down to 14, then do 22, and then we will be tapering for the race. And of course, I've covered that in the past. All right, I think I'm gonna pause right here. And again, it's good to have you with us today. Thanks for being with me. And we're gonna keep running. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Got a topic I really wanna get your input on and share a brief article that is causing me, at the least, to think about what I'm doing with the caffeine, and at the most, maybe causing me to alter my plan relative to electrolyte replacement during the marathon and very long runs. But I'll talk to you about that in just a couple minutes. Thanks for being with me. You are listening to episode 39 of the 20 Minute Runner podcast. We'll be right back. almost 30 minutes into this run, I've stopped to get water, and I had to walk through a little bit of snow to get to the hose, and I was wondering if I could be able to get any water. And when the water came out, it actually had ice in it, which is pretty neat. So we got our water, and now we're back on the road. My left quad is not bothering me at the moment. Might be because unless I'm running on a hill, or I don't know if it'd be down or up, that bothers your quads on my uphill or downhill. Anyway, I rode the bike pretty hard yesterday, which I think I mentioned earlier. And that combined with the hard interval workout, I think has got my legs a little bit tired, but not too bad. But I'm feeling pretty good. We are just moving along, not having a whole lot of issues. I need to be careful at this point in the training that I don't do anything to injure myself. I can't press much harder, but I don't want to back up either. I need to keep going forward with the training. And if a run has to be pushed a day or two in advance because of weather, ice, those issues, then I need to try to accommodate that as much as possible. I think really now, probably the most critical run at the moment that I have left, they're all important, but the most critical, I believe, will be the 20-miler, because I should be able to run the marathon with a 20-mile long run, although, like I did with a half, I'd rather go a wee bit further than what might be absolutely necessary just to feel even that much stronger. And for the half, the longest run was 17, and I felt great. So hopefully we'll manage the 20 and the 22, but I need to be careful not to injure myself. And I am still doing the core exercises as well. So we're getting there. I do want to real quick say thanks for those who are following me on Twitter. The 20 Minute Runner is my handle. I think it has the in it. But anyway, I picked up some followers and I appreciate that. Appreciate you listening, each of you. And just share news about the broadcast. We have just turned around 6.144 miles in 55 minutes flat. I don't know what that is, but that's not bad. The pitter-patter you hear in the background are the last miles of my Leco Perfecto blues. Leco Perfectos with blue strings that I put in to signify them from the ones with the white, or the red strings, I should say. Still aren't making any new ones, so I want to be able for posterity to go back and hear the little pitter-patter of my Perfectos. And if anyone who has any sway with Loco running shoes is listening, if you start making them again, they will always be a staple in my routine, because I love the shoes. Well made, inexpensive, they do the job, excessively comfortable. But these, conservatively, have 400 miles. It's probably closer to 450. So we're going to be letting them go. I don't know whether I'll mow in them or take them to Goodwill or what, but we're not going to run in them, because after around 400 miles, you need to let them go. I did bum around yesterday since we were iced in and wore my Saucony ProGlide 2s, which I bought several months ago and had them in the box in the closet waiting for this day. So I may wear those a little bit tonight, knock around them tomorrow, and the next run Monday or Tuesday morning, hopefully, we'll give them a go. But I used to wear Jazzes years ago. I've had several Jazzes, loved them, absolutely loved them, but the Perfectos were just as good a shoe in my mind. But looking forward to getting back into Sauconys, and hopefully Loco will get back in business making new shoes, but we'll see. Hey, listen, I ran across an article in my email from Runner's World about runners dropping during marathons.
and even half marathons, and the connection with possible blood clotting and caffeine. So I want to read that to you right now, and then I'll come back toward the end of this run and let you know my thoughts on that, and if it's impacted what I plan to do for my long runs and the marathon itself. So we'll be back in just a minute.
I'm citing an article from Runner's World, and I'll put a link to the article in the blog. But I get updates from Runner's World, and you may as well in your email. And this one about caffeine caught my eye, because on the long run right now, both the gels and the jelly beans are the caffeine type. Once in a great while, I'll use the non-caffeine gels, but generally speaking, they are the kind that have caffeine in them. So I wanted to share this very brief article with you, and I'd really like to know what your experience is relative to caffeine. Send me an email if you use caffeine when you train, particularly longer distances. Like, I'm getting ready to do the 20-miler, hopefully, here next week, and now I'm beginning to wonder if I need to scale back the caffeine that I'll be consuming. May go with a plan of using non-caffeine jelly beans and then just use the caffeine gels, which would allow me to have some caffeine, but I would be under the limit that it speaks about here, and probably not drink any coffee that morning. But anyway, it's dated January 19, 2010, and again, I'll have a link to this in the blog, the20minuterunner.blogspot.com, so you can reference the article. And there's quite a bit of information about caffeine and foods at the end of the article, and then there is a forum where people are discussing the pros and cons of what's being discussed, so it's worth checking out. But the title says, "Please Limit Caffeine on Race Morning." A recent discussion amongst IMMDA, the International Marathon Medical Directors, physicians describe the following recent cases of successful resuscitations at different races around the world. A 33-year-old male running a half marathon dropped at the 12-mile mark at 3:10 into his race. The morning of the race, he had drunk two energy drinks and a Starbucks Grande coffee and used two caffeinated gels. Cardiac catheterization revealed a small lesion, less than 20%, but otherwise clean coronaries. A 42-year-old woman running a marathon dropped at the 24.5-mile mark, 4 hours and 10 minutes into her run. She had drunk two large coffees and had three caffeinated gels. Her cardiac cath also showed clean arteries. A 26-year-old male, also running a marathon, dropped at the 25.5-mile mark, 3 hours and 25 minutes into his run. He had taken two caffeine pills plus coffee the morning of his race, and also had clean arteries on cardiac cath. More cases were discussed. We also noted that the press always goes to the deaths at these events, not to the many more numerous successful resuscitations. And with these successful resuscitations, we can interview the patient and find out what they did that might have contributed to their collapse. More and more of these runners have clean arteries and report having consumed more than the 200 milligram recommended limit of caffeine as discussed in previous posts, and there is a link to that. That is the amount in about 2 cups of coffee. Coincidence? We think not. IMMDA is putting together a research project to examine this question, as well as a code rate of how many people actually are successfully resuscitated per number entered. We know that 1 in 50,000 marathoners die statistically worldwide. I think probably more than that die, but they're talking about during the marathon. Meantime, I again am preaching to all of you, and this is bold print. There is no downside to limiting caffeine to less than 200 milligrams on days of a long run or race of 10K or more. Tell your friends, get the word out, please. Until we know more, it just seems to be the right thing to do. I will keep you up to date as more evidence is discovered. And that article is by Dr. Lewis G. Maharam. He's the world's premier running physician and is also medical director of competitor groups' Rock and Roll Marathon Series throughout the country and the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Team and Training Program. He also serves as chairman of the Board of Governors, International Marathon Medical Directors Association. He is former medical director of the New York Roadrunners and the IMG New York City Marathon. So this guy is definitely someone who can address that. Also notice here on recent post, why 1 mile from the finish? So evidently there are people who are questioning why did they get so far and then collapse. And then I noticed that in the forum it did say, did they check to see if the people, were they in fact dehydrated because caffeine's a diuretic? But he does say, or someone in the forum at least says, that if you drink caffeine regularly, that effect is negligible or non-existent if you drink it on race day. So I thought that was an interesting article, and I would encourage you to go to the blog and follow the link that I've got there and let me know your thoughts. I'm really getting a little bit wary of the caffeine I'm taking in. If I were to take in 4 of the jelly beans and 3 of the gels during the marathon, which is about what it would amount to, I would be taking in about 326 milligrams of caffeine, which is 126 more than what they say you should consume. And I had toyed with the idea of drinking a cup of brewed coffee that morning a couple hours before the race. Now I'm rethinking that. Let me know your thoughts, and I just wanted to share that with you.
I just crested the second of the 2 hills, and we're literally getting ready to stop. So hang with me just a minute. We're going to pick it up just a hair. Just a hair. I'm still having to go through a little bit of mush as we run. Not too bad. Edge of the road, and 3 100, so we'll be finished. We're gonna stop at 12.1. We're there. Boom. Okay. Oh, I did want to give you an update on what I did as a result of the last segment you heard. I that very day, I think it was Thursday, yeah, I went to the Bicycle Toy and Hobby Store here in High Point on North Main, beside of Sir Pizza and Libby Hill Seafood. So if you're in the Triad area of North Carolina, drop by, tell Dolly and Danny and Derek, their son, works there as well, and I think another son does too. Tell them that Roland sent you. But I went by and I picked up 10 bags of non-caffeine Jelly Belly, the exercise beans without caffeine, including a berry flavor, which I ate during this run, which is really, really good. And I did notice, and thanks, Derek, I know you listen to the podcast there at the store, thanks for stocking the Stingers. I didn't pick any up Thursday because I don't need any right now, but I will definitely be in touch with you when I need more, or the beans, either one, and I appreciate the discount. But I have determined, as a result of that article, I bought the non-caffeine beans. Got a little bit of non-caffeine gels left, not many, but I think I can get by with them right now. And I also went and bought a bottle of encoded baby aspirin. If you remember, it said to take one. I did not take one today on this just over 12-mile run, but I believe I will try it on the 20 and the 22. But we also will eat just a bite before we go on those runs. Even if the aspirin is encoded in that small amount, I'm wondering if it can upset my stomach. I don't know. But I'm going to do that. And instead of going with practically all caffeine products, which would have put me between 350 and 400 milligrams of caffeine, double the amount recommended by that particular study, I'm going to do my best to keep it under 200. Probably a couple of bags of beans and a couple of non-caffeine gels or a mixture of those will keep me around between 150 and 200 milligrams. And I think that's what I'll stick with. I'll probably alternate a regular bean with a caffeine gel, that type of thing. And we'll see how that goes. So, am I freaking out about it? No. But it does make me wonder, when I went back and thought about it, if you remember a few episodes ago, 2 or 3 maybe, I mentioned that I'd had dizziness on the longer runs or when I ran intervals, did hard workouts.
and actually a couple times had to stop. And during those runs, I did take quite a bit of caffeine. So maybe there is something to that. I still think it has its advantages, and studies have borne that out, but I will be trimming back and using it in moderation rather than just using it as a panacea, so to speak. So anyway, it has altered what I'm planning to do, and I will keep you informed on what that looks like for me on race day. Leading up to then, I'll give you exactly what I'm going to be doing as far as what my plans are at 45 minutes, an hour and a half, that type of thing. So today at 45, I took the non-caffeine beans, which were really good. It helped me. I couldn't tell a lot of difference between that and the ones with caffeine. 1 hour, I ate the Raymond cake, but only had 6 almonds in it instead of 12, and I think that'll work better. So I tweaked that. Ate a cup of raisins with 6 almonds. I think that works at the top of every hour, every 1 hour split, rather. And then at an hour and a half, I did take the strawberry caffeine honey stinger. So I only had a total of 32 milligrams of caffeine during this run, but I did drink coffee this morning, but that was several hours ago. Sun was out for a good while. It's clouding over now, and it's beginning to get toward dark, but I believe the weather tomorrow is supposed to be around 39 and sunny. We'll not run tomorrow, of course. Probably won't run Monday. May do the bike on Monday and then begin with the new shoes on Tuesday for an 8.2, 8.3, whatever. However far I can get in on Tuesday, probably wear the new Saucony Glide 2s. So I'm walking the last few steps or last little distance in my Loco Perfecto Blues. I'll miss them. Wish they were still making them. But I think on an upcoming episode, I will talk about shoes and what type of shoes that we wear as far as for the type of foot that I have. And if you're new to the show and new to running, and I know we are picking up new listeners regularly, that might be beneficial for you as well. You may be wondering, what do I need in shoes? Well, I'm not an expert, but I believe I know enough from experience to be able to, and reading up on it through the years, to be able to give you some good advice. There is no perfect shoe. It depends on what your foot type is, what type of running you're doing, that type of thing. All right, let me give you an update, then I'm going to get out of here and let you go. We ran 12.11 miles, and 1 hour 44 minutes 49 seconds, and the average pace was 8:39, so that's good. I wasn't killing it today, but I did feel good, especially toward the end. And you know, it's just a part of the training. I can tell I am becoming more and more fit, and if I can get in these last critical runs the next three weeks, especially before we start tapering, if I can get those all in and do well and not get injured, I think we'll run a strong marathon, but we'll see. Alright, thanks for being with me. I've chattered enough, and I know you got other things to do. I'll be back in 7 or 8 days. Thanks for listening. Check out my blog. Send me an email. Go to iTunes if you would. Leave me a comment there. I would appreciate it also. Let me hear from you. There's several ways you can do that. Go to the blog and check it all out, and we'll talk to you soon. Have a great weekend. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you soon. Thanks. Bye-bye. Thank you for running with me today. Check out my blog at the20minuterunner.blogspot.com, the20minuterunner.blogspot.com. There's a lot of information there, other items that I think will enhance your listening to this podcast. Also, while you're there, sign up for the podcast with iTunes or send me an email. I encourage you to send me your questions, comments about things we've discussed in this episode, as well as information about your most recent race. If you want to include a photograph and some type of audio file, we'll be glad to share that as well in an upcoming episode. All of the music that we use in this podcast is used under a Creative Commons license and comes from sources such as MusicAlley.com, Jamendo.com, and other places. You can find information about this episode in the show notes at the blog. Again, I appreciate you being with me today. It's been good to have you along for this run. I'll look to talk to you again in 7 or 8 days. Hope to hear from you before then. And as always, thanks for sharing some of the road with me.
My name is Roland, and I am the 20-minute runner.